Let's turn in our Bibles to the epistle of Peter, the first Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. That's where we'll be reading. If you're not that familiar with your Bible, 1 Peter is towards the back of your Bible. It's a couple books to the left of the book of Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 9. Actually, we've been here before at this scripture for a previous sermon series, and we're going to kind of go back there and kind of revisit this again. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Great. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning, please. God's Word says this, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, now that your word has been read, Father, we want your word, this word, to be written on our souls, Lord. We want to learn from this. We want to grow from this. Father, as your representative, I just hide behind the cross and just ask that, Lord, I represent you in truth here this morning. That every word that comes from my mouth here this morning, Lord, be from you and certainly not from me. Let all the increase go to you, and may I decrease, as your servant John the Baptist said. Father, you get all the glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In the exercise and physical fitness industry, there's a phrase that is commonly heard and used, and I bet you know what it is. I'm going to start it, and I'll let you finish it. And that phrase is this: no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Did you know that the phrase no pain, no gain came into prominence around 1982 when actress Jane Fonda began to produce a series of aerobic workout videos. And in these videos, Jane Fonda would use the phrase, no pain, no gain, and she would also use this other phrase, feel the burn, as catchphrases for the concept that a person must work out past the point of experiencing muscle aches. Well, it didn't take long for the bodybuilding community to adopt this phrase. And it expresses the belief that if you want solid, large muscle, it's the result of training hard, and you got to make these sore muscles suffer repeatedly, implying that those who avoid the pain will never achieve the professional level of the gain that they could have. And there's no doubt that there are many people in this world who would like to have a more attractive figure, lose some weight, have more energy, and build more muscle. The promise of the phrase, no pain, no gain, is that to achieve the goal, you must experience the pain that the exercise demands. What's the exercise? It could be any form of working out, or jogging, or lifting weights, or even dieting. Sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, the treadmill, the stair climber, the Nordic track, the Bowflex, the rowing machine. And the list goes on and on and on, and I bet you I mentioned something that you have at least tried once. I know I have. Fitness and aerobic clubs can be found just about anywhere, and they offer you the equipment that can turn that body of yours into exactly what you would like for it to be. But the big question is still this. Are you willing to go through the pain in order to achieve the gain? Okay, back some years ago, I belonged to the YMCA in Stanton. I would go there and work out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. I'd get up at like around 5 o'clock in the morning and get there about 5:30, 6 o'clock. The workouts were hard, and I did indeed feel the pain. And I found myself looking better, and I was feeling better. But unfortunately, my laziness got in the way, and I quit going. Even though Jane Fonda may take credit for that term in modern days, there was a second century Jewish rabbi, and his name was Rabbi Ben Hai, and he said this, according to the pain is the gain. And he said that back in the second century. Rabbi Ben Hai was giving us a spiritual lesson. If there's no pain in doing God's work, then there's no spiritual gain. Now let's remember that, no pain, no gain. We're going to get back to that. Today we're going to conclude this long sermon series on sanctification. And you should know the definition by now because I read it several times every Sunday. It's the process by which God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is molding and transforming us, the believers, more and more each day into the image of Jesus Christ. Okay, He wants us to become like Jesus Christ. Sanctification does have the same meaning as holiness. They both mean to be set apart. We are set apart to do God's work. From the moment we were justified, from the moment God saved us, we have been set apart to do the good works that the Lord wants us to do, and the Holy Spirit's transforming us on the inside to do that. So I brought a prop with me today to hopefully better illustrate that, and I brought this yardstick that Gail had, and we'll start down here. The handle here part will be the beginning. And I'm going to kind of use an analogy here, and we're going to use this. If we look at the journey of a believer, and let's say that this stick represents the journey of a believer, it starts the moment that we are saved, and we'll say that this is the beginning down here at this end where the handle's at. This is the moment we are saved. This is the moment we are sanctified, and it ends up here. This is the moment that God decides to take us from the face of this earth, and we end up with what they call our glorification. So at any point in time in the life of a believer, we're on this journey here somewhere. And how long this journey is going to vary from believer to believer. Some people last a long time and some people are removed rather quickly. So we're going to get back to the stick here also. So for the past several weeks, we've been trying to biblically answer this. So why do hardships, along the line of this life, why do hardships happen to God's chosen people? And we know this, that from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, it says this, that God is going to discipline those whom He loves. Whom He loves, that's right. And that discipline just might be painful sometimes. But He does this because He loves us and He wants us to become sanctified. He wants us to become and look more and more like Christ all the time. And over the last couple weeks, we come up with three questions, and these are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. If we're experiencing hardships in our lives, are we being punished for maybe one of our sins like David was? And that's how God disciplined David for his sin. Do we need a better perception of God, such as Job? God just wanted Job to get to know him a little bit better. Or is God preventing us from harm or from sin like he was from Paul with the thorn in the flesh that Paul had? Well, those are three questions we could ask ourselves, but we still might come to the conclusion, you know, I don't know if it's one of those three. Well, today I'm going to give you a fourth purpose for God for bringing hardships into our lives, and that purpose is promise. Did you notice they all start with the letter P? I had to dig long and hard to find four words that began with the letter P so I could use it for this sermon series. So it could be punishment, it could be perception, it could be prevention, and it just could be promise. And the thing I'll say about promise is this. If you can't figure out the other three, then go to promise. Promise will work. And let's talk about promise here a little bit. In the no pain, no gain formula, there is a goal and there's a path. And I'm going to use the same stick here for the no pain, no gain formula. The goal was this. I will have a more attractive figure, or I'll lose some weight, or I'll have more muscle, or maybe I'll just have some more energy. And this is the goal. I want to end up right here. And I'm going to start down here at this end, but I know this. In order for me to achieve this here at this end, I got to go through all this. And what's all this? This is the workout. This is the Nautilus. This is the rowing machines. This is the jogging. This is the lifting weights. If I want to get here in my physical life, there are steps that I need to take to get here. I'm not going to achieve this very well if I don't go through some of the pain that I got to go through to get there. And there's an attitude about people who work out and do the bodybuilding and things like that. Their attitude is this. They focus on this. They focus on the end result. They focus on, what am I going to look like? How am I going to feel? How much energy am I going to have? Am I just going to be physically a better person? So to them, they focus on the goal. And to them, what happens from the time that they decide to do that and all the way through there is not an issue. It's just not an issue. They're willing to go through the pain in order to have that gain, whatever that gain may be for them. That's what keeps them going back to the YMCA three times a week. That's what keeps them lifting those weights. That's what keeps them on that Bowflex. They know that there's a promise of better health in some way if they do some of these exercises and the proper dieting. They have to go through the pain in order to achieve this result. So as Christians, we start off as believers at some point in our life, be it at an early age or like me at the age of 40. And we know this, that there's a promise down here at this end. Do we, as we go through this life as a believer, and we do have our hardships in our lives, and we all know what they are, and sometimes they are trees falling on cars. But do we ever focus on this? Do we ever focus on the promise? This is where we're going to end up. This is eternity. Do we ever focus on our eternal destiny, which is going to be glory with Jesus Christ forever? And I haven't figured out how long forever is yet, because that's one of those things that I just can't imagine. Do we ever focus on our salvation? Do we ever focus on our spiritual inheritance, all that stuff that's going to happen at some point in our life down here? Remember, this inheritance that we're going to have, we didn't even have to work for it. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it's a gift from God. It says this, we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. And not by works, or else we could boast. In our scripture lesson today, we read the letter of the Apostle Peter, and he talked about the promise there in verse 9. He says, this is the goal of our faith. We start off here at some point in time as a believer. And we know that there's going to be good things that are going to happen to us, and we're all excited about our faith. But we all know that in this path, there's all these hardships that happen. For some people, it's more hardships than others. But we do know this. There is a goal. And I believe sometimes when God puts hardships in our lives, He just wants us to remember this. He wants us to remember this. It's sort of similar to the Job experience. And maybe it's sort of similar to the David experience. And maybe it's sort of similar to the Paul experience. The punishment and the perception and the prevention. But sometimes when we go through life and things just don't seem to be going our way, do we ever focus on the promise? The promise? Let's look at these verses that I read here earlier today, and I'm just going to quickly go through them, verses 3 through 9, and I'm not going to reread all this. I'm just going to kind of give points, and actually these points are listed in your bulletin. There's no fill in the blanks in the bulletin here today, but I'm just going to go through the progression that Peter lists here, and I'm going to compare it to our measuring stick of the life of a believer, and we're going to look at this. First of all, in verse 3, it says this, that we are born again by God's great mercy. And at some point in time, the life of a believer has to have a starting point sometime. For some of you in here, I know it was at a very early age when you're 6, 7, 8 years old. For some of us, like myself, I was 40. But that doesn't make any difference. Whatever age that was, we have to have a starting point. That we have been born again. Remember, it says that Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again by the Spirit. So we are born again by God's great mercy. Again, it's nothing we did. It's His great mercy that has done that. Verse 4 goes on to say this, that the inheritance of this new life, it can never perish. It can never spoil. It can never fade. It's not going away. It's here to stay. Sometimes I feel so sorry for those people who say, you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. It came from God. He's going to make sure you stick with it. And He says right here in this word, it's never, never going to perish. It's never going to spoil. It's never going to fade. And if you think you can lose your salvation, then you must be able to tell me that God's word is incorrect. I am a firm believer that a good work that He has begun in us, He will see it through unto completion. That's His word. It's about time Christians have some joy in their lives, folks. We have to have some joy in our life. Our inheritance is not going to perish, spoil, or fade. So here we are at the beginning of this journey, and we hear all this good news, and we're really excited about that. And we know this, that the inheritance that we're going to receive, it says in verse 5, it's shielded by God's power. Wow, you know that never perish, spoil, or fade? That's shielded by God's power. He will make sure that He will see us through unto completion. And it says in verse 6 that we hear all this good news, and now we rejoice. You know what? I have a salvation. I've been saved. I am now a child of God. I got this inheritance. I am so excited about my faith, and it's good news, and it makes us rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Until the trials. Here come the trials. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, and we do, though for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. All kinds of trials. And we've discussed this over the last couple weeks. Why the trials come into our lives. And we talked about three different purposes, and we talked mostly about these hardships. And it says here, and it also says here, the hardships in verse 7, they come upon us to test us, to refine us, and to prove our faith. It separates the wheat from the tares. And it refines us like the refiner's fire, because God wants to sanctify us. He wants to make us look more and more like Jesus Christ. And we're not going to get that way unless we go through the refiner's fire. And that's why the hardships have to come into our lives. These hardships, like I said, they test our faith, they refine our faith, and they will prove our faith. That's what God's Word says. And it says in the last part of verse 7, it says this, ultimately our hardships result in praise, glory, and honor for Christ. We get to the point where we say, you know what, I know these hardships are happening, but God, I know you're in it. I know you're here with me. I know that you're not only walking beside me, you're going ahead of me. And no matter what I'm going through, be it a family situation, be it a work situation, be it a whatever situation, you're there with me. You're going to take me through this. And I'm going to give you the praise, and I'm going to give you the glory, and I'm going to give you the honor. Because I know if you didn't love me, you probably wouldn't allow these things to happen in my life anyways. So ultimately, the hardships result in this praise and glory and honor for Christ. And then to end it up in verses 8 and 9, it says this. It says, we are filled with inexpressible, and glorious joy. Because why? And here's the clincher. Because we know we will receive the goal of our faith. It's like this. We start off here. We go through all these trials of life as we go through this measuring stick of life here. But we know we're going to end up here. We know that there is a destination. We know that there is an eternity. We know that there's a promise. It's the goal of our faith. And so it makes us get to the point where we say, okay, God, I'm okay with the trials. I'm okay with the good times. I'm okay with the bad times. Because I know one thing. There is a promise of eternity that will never spoil, fade, or perish. Do we ever think of the promise as we go through our trials? And I love the progression that Peter goes through here because it includes the three major steps of Christianity. It includes justification, when we are saved by God's great mercy, we are given a new birth. It includes sanctification, which is the trials that we go through life. And it includes glorification, which is how all of our lives are going to end at some point in time, where God takes us home. And he says this, that for we are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The life of a believer. And if you need to remember this old yardstick to remember that, that's an okay thing. Sometimes props are good things. I'm going to go and read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, because this is some scripture that is really related closely to what I'm talking about here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Jesus Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying this, I'm going to keep on pressing forward. I know that there's going to be good times. I know there's going to be bad times. But I'm just going to press on. I'm going to forget about all that stuff that's happened in my life up until this point. All those people that I have grudges against. I'm just going to put it behind me. And I'm going to move forward. Because this is where I'm going to focus. I'm going to focus on the goal. And that goal is this, that he will give me eternal life. Paul also says this, to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's to gain. He said, to live is Christ. I can live this life, go through the good times and bad times, and it's Christ. It's good. Boy, when I get to the end, wow, if I thought this life was good, or if I had some good times in this life, wait till I get here. Wait till I get to the end. It's going to be something that I've never experienced before. A lot of you in here, I have no idea what's going on in your lives. Some of you I know a little bit. Here's what I want us all to do. No matter what that thing is that you're going through, and you might say, man, I am going through a trial right now like you haven't believed, be it a family, like I said earlier, family situation, work situation, just whatever. You fill in the blank. Know this. No matter how bumpy this road might get on the life of a believer, no matter how many ups and downs you might have, no matter how bad those bad times feel or how discouraging they can get, because they can get very discouraging, no matter how much you might say, gee, I just wish that person wasn't in my life, or I just wish I could get out of this situation. Again, you fill in the blank for what that trial is in your life. I want us all to understand this. There is a promise. There is a promise. And God is saying this, my child, no pain, no gain. If you want to get there, and I promise you will get there, there's going to be things that I got to put you through. I hate to say that, child, but I got to put you through those things because you got to go through the refiner's fire to get there. Because I want you to look more and more like my son Jesus Christ all the time. And to get there, sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's difficult. But no eye has seen or no ear has heard the promises of what this is going to be like. Of what this is going to be like. The writer of Hebrews says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. With the Lord. So often we grieve and we ponder about this. And this is important because this is what we're going through right now, whatever this is for you. But take some time out, believer, to think about this. This is where it all ends. And I have no idea what that reunion in heaven is going to be like. And I don't know what we're going to be able to say. I don't know what we're going to be able to do. And maybe we'll get to sit around the spiritual campfire, talk about the old times. I don't know. But I do know this. We are all being refined by God for a purpose. So when hardships come into your life, if you can't figure out that you're being punished, and you say, well, I don't know. I'm kind of like Job. I've did a self-examination. I think I'm okay. Or if you don't know if it's perception, okay, God, what do you want me to learn about you? Or if it might be prevention. And I think Cindy's example, and I hate to put you on the spot, Cindy's a great example of what could have happened. What could have happened? It might look like a real burden, and her car is damaged, possibly beyond repair. But who knows what that could have turned into. But if you can't figure any of those three out, always put this one out on the table. There's a promise. There's a promise. And a promise is from God. And that promise is never going to perish, spoil, or fade. And that's where we need to focus. Because sometimes to have the gain, we've got to go through a little bit of the pain. Remember this, the next time you go through a trial, remember where your eternity lies with the promise. And that no one, Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of his hands. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. Sanctification, wow, what a journey. It's the process by which the Holy Spirit transforms all of us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And guess what? When we finally get here, we will have arrived. Let's go to God in prayer.